Grading, because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot to say about some good fellowship. Just there's something about it, you know. Michelle and I got in 9 holes of golf even yesterday afternoon, last evening, and there's something very, very refreshing, but there's also something very, very draining about fellowship. I'm moving my microphone a little bit here this morning, trying to get a little bit better volume. I don't want it right in front of me, so if you're having volume issues out there and you're not hearing it very good, somebody just say, hey, coach, can't hear you, although you should. Things right here, I could talk right into it, but don't really want to do that. We had a wonderful weekend up here in Sky High with, we didn't really have a name for what we did. You know, we tried to bring everybody together, as many people as we could, to come and listen to the Steve Quayle conference. We were streaming that live, doing the best we could because there isn't any, there's not a real good internet up Sky High yet. And I never really got a good firm number of people who came, but I would say it was between 40 and 50 that were here. Some stayed the entire weekend. Some came in on Wednesday night. Excuse me. Some came in on Thursday. The official began on Friday, and then they rolled in again on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. And I said to my wife before I came down here today, I said, honey, what should I say about the weekend? Excuse me. And she said, well, first of all, don't make people feel guilty for not coming. So I don't want anybody to ever feel guilty for not coming. So please don't take that this way. Those of you who came, God, they came from everywhere. Joe came from Wisconsin, and guys from Pennsylvania and North Carolina and Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi and Michigan and New York and New Jersey. And I mean, they came from everywhere. Bear with us as we're working through some technical difficulties. Always trying to make the quality of the show a little bit better. So, if we blurp in or not, we're working on all that. But it was just Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina. What state am I forgetting? Kentucky. OJ came from Kentucky. Do we have anybody from Illinois? Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah, no Iowans, Denny. Didn't have anybody from Iowa come down. We had a wonderful time, man. Wonderful time. And the one of the themes that I continue to use all weekend is the scripture, Hebrews 10:24, I believe. It says, "Let us provoke love another. Let us provoke one another, love and good works, and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more, as we see that day approaching." It's one thing to come in here on every 5 days a week and connect with folks and dialogue back and forth, and it's all good. But there's something when you get out there and you, fellowship of the brethren is really, really deep and really, really rich. And Michelle and I, I'm sorry, I keep clearing my throat here. So Michelle and I were really, really blessed by it. I got to tell you, though, it's exhausting. I don't know if I've ever seen Michelle more tired than she was last night when she hit the bed. She probably puts more into it than I do with the organization of the meals and the food. And by the way, thanks to all of you out there who donated and helped make it a success. We met and exceeded our budget. We fed everybody. Every meal we fed. And we stepped out in faith and did that. And just want all of you to know, who those of you who couldn't be here, that were able to help us in that manner. Appreciate it. Man, what's going on here? So I want to just open up. I want to talk a little bit today. I want to build the program around this, if we can, before I dive real quickly in it. I want to talk about the whole idea of assembling of ourselves together But even more importantly, the idea of our spiritual gifts and exercising our spiritual gifts. And do we even recognize our spiritual gifts? And oh boy. See, I identify them in others. We identify them, but we don't always recognize them. Let me shut up and pause for a minute. I want to just kind of open it up for anybody who wants to come in, make a comment maybe about this weekend at Sky. For those of you who don't know, Sky High is a plot of land that we have next door to us. We're building a ministry center, refurbishing a ministry center there, and we've had it about 10 months and really, really moving forward with it. A lot of changes that have gone on, and so it was the first test run we'd had up at Sky High, and it was really, really good. Really good. And I don't want you to come in here and say, well, oh, my coach, you're just the most wonderful man, and your wife, oh, she's just such a one. I don't want that. But I just maybe some feedback from some of you who were here about fellowship, or did the Lord speak to you, or anything. Man, we went to the Nephilim Mounds again. I need to get in and do another teaching on that, because that's been so misunderstood and misconstrued about the fallen angels and the Genesis 6. There were giants in land in those days, and also afterwards, and run down through that. We were picking up new people all the time, and Liberty Mel showed up. You guys say, who? Yeah, well, picked up and thank you, sweetheart. Oh, look at my wife. Brings me a little bit of silver. And I've got Liberty Mel came, and she's been sending me more information. She did some research. I exposed our local Indian mounds, they're not Indian mounds, but the Nephilim mounds, exposed it to a new local here. Well, she's not new, but our relationship is new, and she's local like me, and she never knew. We were told those mounds were Indian mounds. Well, she's done some research. At Stephanie, I'm going to forward it on to you, some stuff. It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. So I'm going to shut up a minute and let me open the door and see if anybody's just anything the Lord spoke to you. Joe Toll came all the way down from Wisconsin, drove down here by himself, said about three words the whole time he was here, but I know he took a lot in. So anybody want to jump in here? Come on in real quick and just amen whatever went on. I'm looking down through the names. You guys are making me look bad. If somebody doesn't speak up, I'm going to look bad here. Somebody say something.
Morning, Coach.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
I appreciate both your email, a couple, three of your emails. But good. For those of you guys who don't know, Stephanie's the one who used to be into Wicca and all that kind of stuff, and understands the demonic world, and now is born again and on fire for the Lord. And so she came to Sky High, and she went to the Nephilim Mound with us. And so, Stephanie, just what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to talk about Sky High, because the Nephilim Mounds, I'll get rolling on that and I'll never shut up, because that's what got me on fire and got me on all this anyhow. I was actually kind of sort of rescued by looking about the Nephilim, because Wiccans and all of them believe in all that stuff. So, you know, they believe that. They won't listen about Jesus, but if you get them on the Nephilim.
They believe in that dark power, right, Stephanie? It's one of the great mistakes we make, folks. The dark side believes in the power of the dark side. The light side, we don't really believe in the power of good and evil and Christ and the Holy Spirit. The left, God-haters, the Wiccans, the pagans, the witches, they really actually believe in the supernatural.
But Sky High, I just wanted to say, man, just pulling up there, I was so excited, just like almost like a giddy. And just you stopped something major by pulling that back from the dark side. You literally, I'm tingling again and I got goosebumps from head to toe. Whew! You stopped a massive, by purchasing that, like you put a big old monkey wrench in a big old power spot. And I don't understand everything, but literally it's just protected and guarded. And like I said, I felt like that's the eagle nest. Like it used to be a spot for the dark side to use and come and go through whatever, but now it's ours.
Stephanie,
it took it back.
Could you stop? Could you take a moment and explain to the listeners? And again, understand this. We have new people tuning in all the time. Folks, look, for those of you tuning in, I do have a tinfoil hat that I'll put on occasionally. And I'll put this on some of you, this is all new and you don't really get what we're talking about. But Stephanie, could you talk, as someone who's been an experience on the dark side, what are portals?
Portals can be areas where either the area there has a natural spot, like a high point, or some kind of ritual open up, but a spot where other things, other entities from other dimensions, other realms can come through in and out, whether it be, like I said, being called, or they might have rights to a certain property for whatever happened there, or bloodline curses, or, you know, something like that. And they can come in through easier, you know, to do their working, you know.
So I like to use the illustration in my mind. Here's how I see it. When you're looking at a submarine has what we call a porthole, right? A porthole.
Yeah.
And that's where the steps are that take you down into the submarine. So as we were talking the other day about us being in a fish tank, a porthole is an opening into that submarine or into that fish tank, or from one dimension into another dimension. Whether we believe it or not, those portals are real. Yay. Amen, Steph?
Amen. I mean, there's stuff all around us. I mean, everyone's afraid of a virus right now. You can't see that, but, you know, I mean, flu viruses, cold viruses, there's bacteria, there's amoebas, there are so many things out there that you can't see, but it's there. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. But there is the other side, strongly understands what's real and the light and the dark, and they use that and they put it into everything. And I just sky high there. I get drained out. I totally understand what, because I get around people and I get drained out. I get around you and I get my batteries charged, and that doesn't happen too often. Sky Amen. High there. I felt so safe and just so happy. And I just couldn't stop smiling, looking at everybody, and everybody just changing, watching them relax, swell up, get happy, forget, fellowship. And the angels that were with everybody and the things that were attached to people were dropping off. And the angels on our side and the light is getting stronger together. And it's
folks,
what comes through us. It's not each of us is a person. It's what comes through us, what comes through us. And I am supposed to be stressing that, what comes through us. And when you know that you know that you know and you feel it, that was real charging energy for every single person that was there. New, knowing each other. And I want to thank everybody there, because I didn't think I could even be on fire even more. And y'all have no idea. I came home and I've been online studying, reading, Nephilim Mounts, George Washington. I mean, it's been like nonstop. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got out of this weekend. I mean, this is a lot bigger than all of us.
Bigger than we understand. Really.
Mind was like, whoo, yeah.
When we claim,
that was really big.
When Stephanie says that we've reclaimed high ground, we have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and anointing the land, we have taken possession again of that portal, that high. We now own that ladder. It's back in, doesn't belong to the dark side anymore. And folks, I was sitting there. If you could have been there, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make the rest of it, those of you who aren't there, make you feel bad. But I'm going to give you this experience. We're sitting up in what I call the great room, which is the big room. And it was just a buzz with active people sitting at tables, just yak, different conversations that were going on. And I was at one of those tables in the midst of a 6 or 7 person discussion that was going on around me. And as I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Hey, my sheep, hear my voice. You understand? My sheep, hear my voice. And another voice they will not hear. Now, doesn't he don't hear the other voice? My sheep hear and acknowledge my voice. And another voice they will not acknowledge. They hear it, but they don't acknowledge. Do you understand the difference? You recognize that other voice is not of the Lord. It's not of the Holy Spirit. And it's been my experience that when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, eventually, immediately a second voice comes. If the Lord comes and says, Coach, do this. If I wait 30 seconds, There's going to be another voice saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Laugh at you. People won't, they won't get. Okay. So one of the real keys in your spiritual walk is learning to recognize the first voice and not listening to the second one. They come. So I'm sitting at that table and all this conversation, that room was buzzing. Whew, there was energy in that room. Just energy of talking to each other back and forth, blah, 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 blah. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, even more as you see the day approaching, because there's a power that happens when we come together. Where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. Multiply it with three and four and five. So I'm sitting there and all this jabbering is going on. The acoustics in the room weren't real good. So, you know, it was loud. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, for the first time, the Holy Spirit said to me, there's life here for the first time in years. So the Holy Spirit said to me, The Holy Spirit said to me, there is life here for the first time in years. And I sat there for a minute and I thought, my Lord, when do you suppose was the last time that the name of Jesus was mentioned on that hill? When do you suppose that was? How many years since someone went up there and did praise and worship and prayer and lifted up the name of the Lord and called out to Jesus on that place? And I'm going to tell you something. What was dead became alive. It was alive again. That hill is alive again. And Dan Bukowski was here, North Dakota. Let me throw another state in there. Dan Bukowski's there. And those of you never been to Sky High, we got great big pine trees up at top of it. But up on top of the hill, there's two dead ones. Dead ones, dead, dead, dead pine trees, widow makers that could follow huge trees. And Dan cut those trees down. He cut both of those trees down. Evidence of the death that was there that's no longer there. Life has returned to Sky High. Now, some of you out there don't get it. That's okay. I'm just telling you what Stephanie's saying. I wholeheartedly resonates with me. That we have the ability, folks, to reclaim these high places. Hey, Steph, real quick, how would you define a high place? What does that mean? Somebody says, that's a high place, or that's a demonic high place. Don't go there, coach. That's a high place. Going up to the high places, going up to the high places, going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. Now, that doesn't mean just up on a high hill, does it, Steph? What's a high place?
It's an energy point.
An energy
point. There's energy points. There's ley lines. Look it up, people. Look it up, ley lines. There's natural energy lines that crisscross across this globe. Just something else that they're very much aware of. We have energy points in our bodies, but the planet itself also has points on all the continents and stuff. And it crisscrosses at certain lines. And in those spots, certain areas, it was more apt to have those. And for whatever reason, and they knew this. And a lot of times, if you want to look at the ley lines and the power lines, you're going to find those mounds there. Mm-hmm. They knew.
Well, especially as you begin to do some research on the land of legend and where we are and what's going on. And somebody, thanks, Steph. Somebody else want to come in? Somebody else want to share anything about their experience?
Yeah, I wanted to say that biblically speaking, Jesus referred to the difference between, you know, like you said, Stephanie understands the believability on the part of the dark side in what they believe in versus the believability of what people calling themselves Christians are supposed to believe in. And that was in the parable of the unjust steward. At the end of that parable, it says the children of this world and their generation are wiser than the children of light. See, the evil that Stephanie was talking about do a better job at being evil than the people calling themselves Christians do at being Christians.
Amen, Larry, because they are trained. Folks, listen, don't miss this. The demonic side, they are trained in the demonic power. Our side isn't. We talk about it, but we don't really understand. We don't understand what it means to cast down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, what, to the pulling down of the strongholds, the demonic realm, the darkness, the left, the dark side is trained on their rituals We don't even know ours. We don't even. That's one of the great failings of the church. So if you're watching, you're scratching your head, who is this guy? What's going on? Well, just hang in there with us. And I think maybe the more you listen, the more that's going to make some sense. Somebody else. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to Sky High, Coach. It's been a year. I hope you. I kind of made a suggestion. Build a helo pad. Remember?
Well, we got a lot of plans, brother. You mean a helicopter? You gonna come flying in, are you, Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Anyway, I went out preaching at 6:30 in the evening on Saturday, and I preached on the corner, and down the street was a bar called Slippery Bar and Grill. I tell you, it's run by Satanists, and I got attacked by Satanists on all sides. One of the women's wearing a pentagram with a goat head on it, and I have it all on video. I have a question. It's just, you have running across Satan contentious females who worship Satan. It seems to be more abundant in my area. It's just astonishing.
What do you think, Steph? You got any feel for that, Stephanie?
There's probably something else driving that meat suit, pushing them. That's Baphomet. That's actual true state. Those are the ones you got to watch for. That's true. Like I said, people think witch and they think everybody does the same. They have their own branches. They can't agree. Like, you put a true druid next to a Wiccan, sometimes they're going to argue because Wiccans have their way and their covens and their roles. And, you know, it's one of the thing about the occult is you kind of can fish, and Wiccan was a mass mix-up of all kinds of stuff. But those ladies there, it's what's driving their meat suit. We look at it and we take it personal. And it's not. What's in them sees what's in you. And the stronger your light is, the more you're going to irritate them.
The dark side recognizes the light that's in us. Is that what you say, Stephanie?
Even when you don't even know. Yeah. That's what I... It happens to me all the time, and I was just talking to somebody, one of my friends, about it just yesterday. Don't take it. We always take it personal. Our human heart hurts. We got to get past that and be like, all right, there's something else going on. What were we talking about? Did I just say if you say the word Jesus, just saying it out loud again puts out a ripple when you speak. That's why you're supposed to speak, not just think. And so the eyes, if you said the word Jesus, every demon and every anything in any meat suit heard you because you put out a ripple, and they came to you like bugs to a bug light.
Hey, Stephanie, I have a question. I've often had the theory that Satan cannot read our minds. He can put thoughts into our minds and then try to make us think he can read those thoughts. But exactly. I don't think Satan can read our minds. That's why we do need to speak.
Right, exactly. No, he's fake. That's why he has to go through the AI with everything. You know, Jesus, God, he knows everything. Satan doesn't. So he has to make a fake perception that he knows everything. And that's why it's a push for the technology. No, he can't read our minds. But I tell you what they focus on is our fears. And fears have attachments that come with them, like depression and sadness. And they feed on fear. And they find out what you're afraid of, and they put it all around you.
Folks, let me stop. Let me stop a second, Stephanie. Folks, Stephanie lived this life. She lived the dark side life. And so if you're sitting here and you're scratching your head and you're saying, what? She lived it. She lived it. She understands how they operate. We don't get it. We don't get it. We're not trained in this. We don't understand. She keeps saying meat suit. In other words, you are just inside a meat suit. You're not a body. It's what you're in and you're walking through. And there's these outside forces take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. There are these outside forces, dark forces, that are constantly trying to invade our lives. That's going on constantly. The dark side knows that we don't even believe in it. We don't even believe it. Is it any wonder we're behind? Is it any wonder that we can watch Disney not see that it's dark? Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that we can watch the Super Bowl halftime show and not see the darkness in it? Is it any wonder that you can turn on any child's program on TV and not see the dark side in it? Because we don't understand that they are constantly at work trying to invade our.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mark. Hey, morning. Joe and I made it home, but.
Bless you guys. Thanks for coming.
Think if you have no light and you're not shining, you're in the darkness. You can't see anything. If you have no light, you're in the darkness with them, right?
That's well, Mark, I said this. So I can't remember. Maybe it might have been Steve Deck I was having the conversation. I can't remember. I had so many conversations. The scripture says this, that if the light, I don't have it in front of me, which scripture is just, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning this, if you think you have the truth and you don't, you're not looking for it. If you think you have the truth, that's, by the way, that's where a lot of the denominations and battles, I was in preparing today, I have to do a show on this, in preparing today, I came across in 1 Corinthians, the whole chapter is on speaking in tongues. The whole chapter is on speaking in tongues. And the church, many in the church say, well, they don't believe in that. They don't believe in it. That whole denominations don't believe in that. Now, I'm not here to argue back and forth about speaking in tongues, but if speaking in tongues isn't a for the edifying of the body, if it's not, why is it in there? Why did Paul spend all that time talking about it? See, so I would say this: if you wanted to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you didn't believe in it, well, you would never receive it. So, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The darkness is great because you're not even looking for the light. You think you got it, which is the point you're making, right, Mark?
Amen, Coach.
You know, Coach, this is Jeff. You give us what I use is the weapons, and you quoted Psalms 2:1, weapons: prayer, praise, the word, confession, fasting, obedience, and faith. Mm-hmm. You know, when I go out preaching, I pray ahead that Lord, give me the words to say, and bring that Holy Spirit more convincing, and bring a barrier around me, and I'm able to. Deal with these contentious women as on Saturday evening, being verbally attacked. When I say, and I have the full armor of God, I'm going to say, you have no authority here, no authority here. And they go into contortions. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit puts that in front in there.
Sheldon, Psalm 91, real quickly. Psalm 91. Seems to me the Lord keeps prompting us this direction. My wife memorizes this and prays this over us a lot, but I want to point out a couple things. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jeff. I'm sorry. I think I want to show you this Psalm 91 because we hear people pray a hedge of protection. Pray a hedge of protection around. What? Pray a hedge of protection from what? Pit bulls? Clay pigeons? We did some shooting this weekend. Thanks, Bob Evans. Hedge of protection? What does that even mean? Well, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty. So that's like a covering, isn't it? Well, in fact, it says, I will save the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See, you're not retreating into the covering. It's over you. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and that under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies. What is he talking about here? What? Arrows at night? Pestilence walking in darkness? Destruction that wastes at noonday? What? Nor an arrow, what? 1,000 shall fall at your side? What? I've never had 1,000 people with me. 10,000 at your right hand, but shall not come near you. Why? Because there's a covering, there's a hedge, a fence row around you when you're walking in the covering and the anointing of the Lord. But look, go back to number one, first one there, Sheldon. Scroll up to the top. You have to dwell there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's where you live. That's where you move and have your being, in the secret place of the Most High. Secret, not in that you're hiding. Secret, but that you're covered and protected. Now, that doesn't mean nothing bad's going to happen to you. But like Russ Dizdar said to me, I said, don't you ever get scared? He says, Coach, I'm in the Lord's hand. He can't touch me unless he lets them. Right? So this stuff that we're talking about, these portals and these spirits and these wrestle not against flesh and blood and kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord. There's a real war going on around us, friends. A real war. And you won't find a church, one church in 1,000 that even knows what the heck we're talking about. Somebody else, come on in. I don't
know. Hey, Coach, can I add something? I'm sorry.
Please do.
I just want to tell everybody, since what I personally, myself, every single day, do not miss it. I read Psalm 91, and I say it out loud. Don't just read it in your head. Whew, I'm tingling again. I want to tell everybody why you're supposed to speak it too. That thought in your head, you know, it the ripple won't go out. It stays stuck. It's stagnant. You're it's in there, and you're learning it, but it's like your stick man. You know, it has to go out. You have to put it into action. You have to turn your thought into action. You must speak the words out loud. So every single day before I leave my house, before I start doing anything, I read that out loud. And then I start my day.
Amen.
And that's just my personal, with everything that I've gone through. And it just reminds me of how I felt when I was crossed over with my near-death experience. And it reminds me every day of where I'm supposed to stand. And it makes me feel safe. And that's how I find my no fear. And so I just wanted to say that that's what I personally do every day, is read that out loud.
So let me drop this bombshell, folks. Stephanie and Mitch asked me to marry them at Sky High. You say, who? Yes, her boyfriend asked me on Sunday if I'd marry him. So we're going to have a wedding at Sky High in the not too distant. Bless you, Steph.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, to expound on this, you know, understanding things in the naturals, because there's a supernatural.
Good to hear you, man. People loved your flooring. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. We had a great crawfish boil. We had some pretty good fellowship to ourselves. But listen, on the high place, I wanted to get on there and sing that song of going up to the high places. And so even in battle, even in wars, militaries are understanding the strategicness of the high place. When you hold the high place, you hold the high ground, you have the position to rain down on the enemies with precision when you're up high. Brother, our weapons are not of flesh and carnal, but they're mighty. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, why we audibly speak it. When we're at the high places, the precisionness of our words speaking and going forth strike their targets with accuracy. Brother, the high grounds are vitally important, and speaking the word of God is our ammo.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Maybe we'll let you sing that song here in a few minutes, Dale. God, you guys don't know how musical Dale Socha is as well. Get that guitar, man. Get that thing ready. Somebody else, come on in. Yes, Polly. Gettysburg, the battle was over Little Round Top. Little Round Top was the high place at Gettysburg. 27,000 men died in the Valley of Death at Gettysburg. Why? Because they had seized the high ground. When you're up high, you look low. You can see. It's a vantage point. And so in the spiritual realm, just being up on a hill, I mean, that's no real power there, being on a hill. But there is, if there's a high connection, there is. But in the natural, even, you always want to take the high ground. You always want it. And so that's what, in my opinion, is significant about. Anybody else?
Hey, Coach. Oh, this is Joe Telly. How are you doing?
Hey, Joe, you're talking today. Good. I'm just kidding, Joe.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad I came down there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin. What prompted you to do it, Joe? He drove down all by himself.
I've been following you, and you invited the people to come down there, and, yeah, I came down. I'm going to the abortion clinic today with Ann and Frank. I just thank you for encouraging me, or, you know, this queue, and we need people like you motivating us to get out and do God's work.
Amen. Well, Joe, I know this. He's gonna reward you for your obedience. Folks, that's so much of our life, man. If we just learned to trust and obey, we would just obey. We could push back so much darkness. Well, say hi to Ann, Joe, and God bless you, man. Thanks for spending the weekend with us. Myra, you got something to say, sweetie?
Yes, thank you so much. I miss you so much this past weekend. And I just pretty much had an issue with my job, and it's because of wickedness, and I'm so glad to be out of it. And the Lord put me in that position to bring light, and that's what He has been doing with me, and I give Him praise. Joseph, amen. I'll keep you in my prayers because you're going to the abortion center, and I know the Lord is going to make a way for me to become more active. And thank you, Coach. You're an inspiration, and I'm just so happy to be part of the Light Brigade. Thank you.
Amen. We're honored to have you with us, for sure, Myra. I had a teaching. I have a bunch of stuff queued up over. I'm not going to do it today because I don't want to shortchange us. I'm just going to tell you tomorrow. I want you to try to join us tomorrow because I'm going to talk to you about the body, the importance. I'm reading what my notes I put over here. The body, the importance of when we all come together, the assembling of ourselves together, how that is supposed to flow, what's supposed to happen when we do that. The giftings, the gifts that you have, the talents and the skills that you have, and are they being used, and why are they not being used? And as I look at the clock, I got about 20 minutes. I don't want to hurry through it. So we're gonna pick this up tomorrow. And I'm looking at something right now. I'm gonna wet your whistle with this. Every one of us. Let me scroll up here a second. Sorry. Do you know what your gifts are? You know what your gifts are? Now, wait, stop. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. We could talk in, faith, wonder-working faith, and gift and prophecy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your natural gifts. Do you know what your natural gifts are? Because I said to my wife when we were getting ready for the weekend, I was having people to come to Sky High because we were going to watch the Steve Quayle conference. So that was my invitation. But I said to my wife, before everybody started to get here, I said, you know, honey, most of these guys ain't going to sit in the room and watch TV. I know these guys are just not going to. From the time some of them hit the ground, they were dirty. Their knees were dirty. Their hands were dirty. Their hands were greasy. They were, because they all came and wanted to exercise their gifts, not their spiritual gifts. Now, there's a connection between your spiritual gifts and your natural gifts. There's a great connection. But it's like a guy walks into, as a little kid, you walk into something that you really enjoyed. You're in the middle of an erector set. And, oh, my goodness, you just love to order. Some people love to put together puzzles. And, boy, you're in the middle of a puzzle. And, and I sat back and I watched these guys who came in bring in their gifts. And when we didn't do a Sunday morning church with y'all yesterday, but we had church and we talked about the body and our gifts and the fact that the scripture, I'm gonna use this one and then I'm gonna move on. The Bible tells us in Romans 11:29 that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. Oh, I felt that. He ain't taking them back. Whatever the gift is he put on your life, whatever the call that it is that he put on your life, he ain't taking it back. The giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. You are forever marked with that gift and with that calling. And what we talked about yesterday, and I'm going to get into tomorrow, I got to stop or I'll get too deep into it. What are you doing with your gift? Do you even know what it is? You're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account, because you're here for a reason, gifted in a certain way for a purpose. And most of us ain't even got any idea at all what that even means. I know, I'm going to shut up for a minute. We'll shut up. Somebody, come on in here. Let me pull this up here real quick while I'm doing it. Anybody else? Come on.
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, you mentioned portals. When I was younger, my sisters and brother played with the Ouija board. And I believe that spiritual realm, and what things were done, or playing with that thing, opened that portal. And I tell you, that's an experience. And I warrant, do not play with that Ouija board.
We don't even get into generational curses and all that kind of, we have very little understanding of any of that in the church. And that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we don't get it. And the Lord told us not to be ignorant of his devices. And we don't have any idea. We have no clue. We have any clue at all. Somebody else, come on in. Kind of a flea flicker Monday here. Did Chad make it home? I didn't even check on old Chad. He flew out here yesterday. I appreciate him coming and being part of it. Chad's having an event at his house. Are you in here, Chad? Probably sleeping in. He's having an event at his house. So if you're down in Texas, he's having a Salt and Light Brigade event in Moody, Texas, coming up this weekend. Yes, Randy, your skid steer got a lot of work. Several different guys were on it, so your name was mentioned many, many times. And I said, you know, Randy said this belongs to the King. I've had that thing almost a year, Randy. It's been a blessing. Come on in, Randy.
Amen, Coach. It is so good, Coach, to hear the testimonies. It does my heart so good to hear people get in the fight and to see where God is calling them to be salt and light. And it is so amazing. But what I was going to say, Coach, on strongholds, a stronghold can be for light or for darkness, either one. So, you know, when we take that ground from the evil, we are creating a new one, Coach. And that is all sky high is. It is a stronghold. Sure.
Yes.
For God and for his kingdom. And if
it's a recaptured stronghold, Randy.
It's recaptured. And Coach, if we don't think that the land is part of his kingdom, we're so misled. I'm telling you, Coach, my place that I have here, it is a stronghold for God. It is a place where people can come step on and feel the light of the gospel and feel the presence of God. Coach, this is what we're doing. We're taking back the land, Coach. We're misplaced. Darkness.
Have you ever walked into a house? We hear it a lot. I'm not bragging. We hear it a lot. People say, man, there's just a good feeling here. Just a good feeling. Or like Stephanie said, when we walked onto the Nephilim Mounds in Newark, Stephanie, did you have a good feeling or a bad feeling when you walked onto that circle mound that they tell us the Indians? But good feeling or bad feeling there, Steph?
I felt horrible. I felt anxious. I felt fear. I felt a lot of sadness. I felt like I wanted to throw up. But before I even said prayer, I leaned over to Mitch and my ears were ringing. I had this real high pitch ringing, and that's usually not a good sign. And I just felt like very uncomfortable. I did not like being there, and I know that there's something a lot older there. That's what the newbies go there. I call them the newbies. You know, the witches go there, and they do their little, you know, for the solstices, and they beat their drums, and they la, la, la with their flowers, and yeah, yeah. I'm talking about what built those. I'm talking about it goes way older than that, and that's what's there. And I didn't even want to take a picture there. I just wanted to get out of there. I just wanted to go. And the farther away we got, the better I felt.
So we just need to unplug. We just need to unplug that power from that the evil, the dark side's been using. We need to unplug it. Let's plug the Holy Spirit back inside that thing. So that's what we need. See, somebody said to me, maybe it was John that said to me, Coach, we need to get out here. We need to do a real prayer vigil and a real prayer walk, and let's cleanse this land and let's take this land back for Jesus. Talking about not Sky High, but that Nephilim Mound, that circle. That for those of you who are curious, hey, do this for me real quickly, Sheldon. I'm sorry, folks. We have new people tune in all the time. Okay, so if this is old news for some of you, I apologize for it. Sheldon, just type in Newark, Ohio Earthworks, and let's see what we come up with. N-E-W-A-R-K, Newark, Ohio Earthworks. Because L.A. Marzulli, some of you don't even know who he is. Those who study these things say that this is Fallen Angel Central. Well, that's what this is. Yeah, let's see. Right, try that one. Yeah, try that one, Sheldon. There's this. This is the golf course. This is the Octagon Mounds that they tell us was built by the Indians. And they're going to try to close this down. By the way, the historical society is trying to catch it. That's not what I want. Let's go back, Sheldon, to Newark, Ohio. What would it say? Stay on that same thing. Scroll down and let's see. There it is. 2020, the Newark, Ohio Earthworks 2020 Heath. See if you can, no. That's, no. That's what I hate about Google. Go to Newark Earthwork Archaeology Magazine. See what they say. What do they tell us about us? About. If you can click on it, I'm sorry. Newark Earthworks, Ohio History Org Museum site. Second one down. There you go. Hit that one. Oh, I'm right back where I was. Stupid. Anyway. I lost my thought. Doesn't matter. But
hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jack. Good to hear you.
Yeah, good morning. As you've been going through all this, it's just something's burning in me. We
hang on
strategically.
Freeze it right there, Sheldon. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay. Many of the our veterans, the PTSD is so high because we take the high ground and give it back, and take the high ground and give it back, because we don't hold the high ground. We only fight for it and then give it back. Vietnam was that way. It was horrible, horrendous. And even the Gulf War, they did the same thing. They'd take a city or take a town and then back off. And we have to learn from that we have to hold the ground. If you don't hold the ground, it's depressing.
Amen. So we got to recapture that, Jack, don't we? We have to. Folks,
we have to learn strategy. And we have to learn how to win. So that I keep telling the Republican Party, they keep snatching defeat from the victory.
Yeah, we don't know
how to win.
We don't hold ground very well. We don't hold very ground.
That's right.
This is an aerial drawing of what they call the Newark, Ohio Earthworks. Sheldon, if you can, take that pointer, and I'll tell you, go clear up to the top left corner, Sheldon, right to that circle to the top left corner. Back. Yeah, right there. Folks, that's what they call the Circle Mounds. The Mound Builders Park is what they always told us. You can find a lot of information on that. But, Sheldon, you see that little opening right in the middle of that? No, stay right where you were. Stay right where you were. A little opening. Clear on up. Going up. Yeah, right there. Whoa. See that opening? See, that's a perfect 360-degree circle with an opening. And the opening, right in that opening there, is where the sun rises on the spring equinox, March 20th. The sun comes up right in the middle, right where Sheldon, go right in that little hole there, Sheldon, like you're going to walk in. No. Come on down the circle. There's an opening. You walk right in there. That's where the sun comes up. That's due east. And that little arrow in the middle is a formation of a, you have to use your imagination to see it. These are mounds now, okay? These are mounds. And that mound in the middle is in the form of a woman with her legs spread to be impregnated by the sun god on March 21st. They used to do a lot of rituals and ceremonies, has a moat on the inside of it. That's Mound Builders Park. It is huge, Mound Builders Park. But I also want you to notice that if you go to the right on your screen, Sheldon, go to the right. Over here, clear this. Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go. There, keep going. Going up. There you can see what they call the Octagon Mounds. That's an eight. That's a different one. That's about a mile away from it. And the Octagon Mounds. Now, if you're walking low to the ground, you can't see these. Imagine Indians perfectly making these mounds in perfect octagon shape, perfect circular shape. It would be physically, you couldn't do it. It'd be absolutely impossible. So that's why those who are involved are talking about this being supernaturally, demonically, Nephilim, fallen angel technology, built these things. Now, Sheldon, if you can go back, I'm sorry. If I'd known I was going to do this, I'd have a better preparation for you. These mounds, folks, small mounds are all over Ohio, all over Ohio. And I don't want to get into the depth of it. Pull back one of those pictures, Sheldon. See if I can show you another one. I don't know if I can. I don't know. And anyway, when you walk on this, those of you who've ever heard what's his name? Come on, the World Walker.
Henry Groover.
Thank you. Henry Groover said he never felt darker spiritual energy any place in the world than Mound Builders Country Club in Newark, Ohio, ever walking on it. And so when we talk about, see, they told us the Indians built them. Hey, Sheldon, if you can, come down to these smaller pictures and click on the third one in. That one right there. Folks, that's a picture of the moat inside the mound. Now, this is the opening of where you walk in. Remember we showed the circle and then the opening? This is the opening, and this is a moat on the inside that they said that they would light it with. They would light fires in there, and they would do ritual sacrifices there at Mound Builders Park. I don't want to go anymore, Mound Builders Park. Cool. All right? Tomorrow, I don't know how I even got on this today. It's all good. We went there. We went there this weekend. I took them to a couple other mound places. You want to do some research, just do the Mounds of Ohio. Just on your own, folks, Google the Mounds of Ohio. You find out they're everywhere. Yeah, Randy?
Yeah, this is Mark. Just real quick, L.A. Marzulli, if y'all look this up on his site, he did a complete series on this related to how they moved that dirt. How they moved it. They didn't have excavators. So if you look at the mound, he calculated how long it took to make that pile. And one thing I couldn't see from the other picture is how big it was in relationship to, say, a car.
Oh, that thing
is huge. It's huge, and it's a perfect circle. And all that dirt had to be done perfectly. And the technology they supposedly had back then were buckets. Buckets. Rocks, made of rocks and things like that.
Think about this. If this thing was 2,000 years old or 6,000 year old, I don't care how old it is. Can somebody explain to me why the dirt on top of the hill hasn't come down and filled up the moat? Why there's been no erosion there from that hill to bury that moat? They've had surveyors out there, and it's perfectly flat, no erosion to within 1 inch in this 38-acre It's so huge. Hey, one more thing. I'm going to switch gears on you again. But one more thing I got to throw up. Hey, Sheldon, go to the stuff that I sent you today and throw up Color of Law. Color of Law. Because we're still fighting this fight with the coronavirus and yada, yada, yada. I want you guys to see this. This will blow you away. This is, let me get it up here on my own screen. Sorry if I switched on you. But just kind of giving you a little bit of ammo here. This is the United States Department of Justice. All right. We're talking about a lawless government. Isn't that what we're saying? You getting it there, Sheldon? I know you are. I'm not putting the pressure on you. Deprivation of rights under the color of law. Folks, the color of law meaning it looks like the law, has the same color, sounds like the law. And so what we have here is a document from the U.S. Department of Justice, deprivation of rights under the color of law. Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. You following this? When a cop comes up to you and says you don't have the right to speak here. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under color of law includes acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done by beyond the bounds of that official's lawful authority. If acts are done while the official is purporting or pretending to be a medical director, persons acting under the color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prison guards, and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in the public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. Acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus toward the race, the color, the religion, the sex, the handicap, familiar status, or national origin. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they have the best intentions. They can't do it. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to the term of life or the death penalty, depending upon the circumstances of the crime and the resulting energy. Okay, so pull it up here. That's the summary of it. And here's the law, folks. This is the law of the land. When we show up, we are not protesting. We are petitioning. Whoever, under the color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, wearing a mask, privileged or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosive, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or attempt to kidnap or aggravated sexual assault or attempt to commit aggravated sexual assault or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. You see what they're doing to us? And you see how they can't do it to us? Can't have laws based on good intentions. I hear tell the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Hey, Dale, do you have the song ready to go, Dale? Did you get your guitar and got a song ready for us to go here? I hate to think I called on you and went and got your guitar and I found you.
Well, I might not pull my guitar out. We're a little bit earlier than you. My kids are still sleeping, but I'd be more than glad to sing it to you, though.
Sing us out of here, brother. Sing us out of here today.
We've been deceived by the enemy too long. Tonight we're going to tear the enemy down. What he said was his has been ours all along. We're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. Going up to the high places. Going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down.
Amen.
Let's go up, going up to the high places, going up to the high places, going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk about gifts, callings, responsibilities, accountability. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. We'll see you tomorrow.